You're listening to The Aaron Carrera Show. And now your host, Aaron Carrera.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It is me, Aaron Carrera, your host. And you are listening to The Aaron Carrera Show on Thursday, August 29th, 10:02 a.m. here in Los Angeles, California, where we're having a lovely, gloomy day. Very gloomy. I love it. It's cool. Jay and I were just talking about how lovely and cool it can be when it's like this. Well, it's wherever you are, whatever time it is, wherever you are coming from, whenever you're listening, I'm happy to have you here. And if you've been listening for a little while, you know that we are embarking upon a September of abundance. So even though it is August 29th, we don't want to be living in the future, we started in advance a little bit. Last week, we, on the Aaron Carrera Show, we spoke a bit about self-sabotage and ending self-sabotage and becoming aware of self-sabotage. And the reason I wanted to start with that is because so often when we are manifesting things or manifesting abundance or prosperity, if we don't believe we can receive it, when we do receive it, we may sabotage it. And so if you haven't listened to the episode from August 22nd, I would recommend going and listening to it because it's important to take stock of when you might be sabotaging yourself and find ways to stop sabotaging yourself. Just a little bit of business before we dive into today's topic, which is preparing the way for prosperity. So first of all, this show is brought to you by me, Aaron Carrera at onetolisten.com. My work at onetolisten.com/Aaron, so you can go to onetolisten.com/Aaron, that's Aaron with an E, is what underwrites this show. And I love working with all of you over at OneToListen. If you would like to come chat with me, talk with me on the phone, you can order a written reading from me, a channeled reading, my most popular email-based service, which is what we call our anything where we're sending you a file after the fact. My most popular one is called One Wonderful Question, where people ask me one question, and some of you sneaky people sneak five questions into one question. It's fine, because what I do is I have a whole system that I channel the energy through to help you uncover what's possible moving forward. But I also have recorded, you can order a recording where I will channel a recording for you. I have personalized EFT tapping sessions. I have tarot card readings. I have meditation sessions. And then, of course, you can also buy a time-based session with me. And if you go to my link in bio, anywhere that I am on the internet, so Aaron at One To, or One To Listen Aaron on Instagram, Aaron at the School for Heroin / Aaron at One To Listen on Facebook, it'll bring you to my link tree. And if you scroll down to about the middle, you can book a 50-minute session with me at One To Listen, which is a life coaching session, but we can also do tarot, we can do astrology, we can do EFT tapping. We can use that 50 minutes in the way that's going to best serve you. And it's for only $199. It's a super screaming deal. So I don't keep that out in public. That's for people who listen to this show or subscribe to my mailing list only. So you are in on the secret. You now know. Anyway, so if you want to come work with me, I'd love to work with you. Come find me, onetolisten.com/Aaron. If I am not available at the moment that you're looking, please email me, reach out, schedule a callback request. And as soon as I become available, then we will work together. That would be wonderful. A little bit of fun updates, some news. So last week I told you all I was going to be speaking of abundance and prosperity. Some of you know, if you've never listened to the show before, then guess what? I'm also a singer. So I am a psychic at One To Listen, and I'm also, among other things, a singer and a writer. And I had a very fun gig last week over the weekend. I had been hired to go sing at the Ferrari Challenge races at the Sonoma Raceway in Sonoma, California. And it was so fun. I know some of you had asked about it or had mentioned it to me and emailed me about it. So I just wanted to update you all a little bit on how fun it was. First of all, I'm not really like a race car kind of woman. I'm not in, I like cars, I do a lot, but I'm not like a car person, like a deep dive car person, right? I like to look at the cars that I think are beautiful. I especially love vintage cars, love them. I just think cars were so beautiful back in the olden days. I don't like a lot of modern design. Like, I hate that new Tesla truck. I think it is so ugly. And there's so many now coming in my neighborhood. And I'm just like, why? They're like Humvees. I didn't like, remember when Humvees were super popular? Like, oh gosh, maybe it was like 18 years ago to 20 years ago. They were just these so popular. And I live smack dab in the middle of Los Angeles where the streets are not built for giant vehicles. And so these folks are starting to drive these ugly as, oh my God, I know they're supposed to look like super space age, but to me, they just look like big trash cans, like the big trash bins. Like if I look out into my parking lot and I look beyond where my neighbors are parked, because I can, my office window looks out over my parking lot, and there's that big trash bin, right? I just think those Tesla trucks or whatever they're called look like big trash compressor, like compactors. I just think they're so ugly. So if you drive one, I'm sorry if I'm insulting you. I just think it's an ugly car. I like the old-fashioned cars with the beautiful sleek designs. I like Aston Martins, like the old-fashioned ones. I love like vintage cars of all kinds. Cool vintage Chevys and Fords, vintage trucks. Even a friend of mine drives this really cool Ford Bronco from the 90s. I like even older Ford Edge, not Edge, the other one, Escapes, that look a little bit like Jeeps. I like all those fun cars. They were so beautiful. Anyway, I'm going off on a tangent here. If you want to go feel abundant, I would recommend going and test driving a sports car or going and test driving, even just test driving some new cars. It will inspire you. So I was at the racetrack, and when you go to, I don't know if this is true for all races, but when you go to the Sonoma Raceway and the Ferrari Challenge that was there, you get to go look at all of the race cars before the race. So you get to go see while the technicians are working on them or doing things to them. You get to like look inside, look at the engines, which are amazing. My friend came with her family, and so we had two little boys with us. And a couple of the technicians were very sweet, even though they were in the middle of working. Like one of my friend's sons is, I think he's six, and he was like, wow, to every car. You know, when you're six, everything is so cool. He's like, wow, look at that. Look at that one. He was so adorable. And this technician was like, hey, look at this. And he like opened the door and let Benny look inside. And like, you know, I mean, it was just, they were very generous. And it was so fun to see these amazing vehicles. But also, they had cool vintage vehicles set up for us to look at as well. So, just being in this atmosphere where I know a Ferrari is not going to be accessible to a lot of people. And there are going to be a lot of people listening to this show who are going to be like, Aaron, I hate capitalism. I hate late stage capitalism. I hate patriarchy. Whatever. I get that. But I would love for you, for the sake of prosperity, abundance, art, and craft, to think of Ferraris like beautiful works of art, because that's really what they are, right? When you're looking at beautiful cars, much like a beautiful handbag or a beautiful home, there is a sense of beauty and art and proportion that can be very inspiring, which is why I suggest, you know, go look at some new cars. Go to a luxury car dealer and just say, oh, I'm just looking. You don't have to tell them anything about yourself. They may not let you test drive a car if you're not qualified, depends on the dealership, I've heard. But you can just go look, right? Whatever your interest is in prosperity, you might be like me and not really care about money. You just like to have the freedom to do what you want to do. You may just want a little more breathing room in your life. You may want more savings in the bank account so you can feel more secure. What the thing I wanted to begin with and why I wanted to share about singing for Ferrari is that you can allow yourself to be inspired, right? Maybe you like to watch the reality shows like Selling Sunset, Selling the OC, that those are two on Netflix. I don't like reality shows in terms of, well, I like some, but like I like, you know, Project Runway. I love What's the glass blowing competition show on Netflix? Especially the early seasons when people were super real. Oh my gosh, the things they make are astonishingly beautiful. Blown glass is just astonishingly gorgeous. So I love to be inspired. So I'm saying, find the things that will inspire you toward beauty. Maybe you like travel, so you watch travel shows. Maybe you love clothes, so you start looking at fashion blogs, right? It's very important to inspire yourself. I know a lot of times that's why we, back in the day, and maybe some people still do, I have friends that are still doing, do vision boards, right? You do vision boards. And the key with vision boards and the key with going and inspiring yourself is to watch the thoughts that come up, right? So, like, you might go to, so for example, at this Ferrari event, there was general admission where people could come, and everybody with padlock general admission could come look at the cars and then go stand, sit in the regular grandstand seats and watch the race. And you could buy, like fair food. They had hamburgers and corn dogs and giant icy, snow cones and beer and wine. And they probably had other, that kind of fair food. Deep fried fun junk food. Then there was another level, a hospitality area for people who bought very expensive tickets. And I was, because I was a performer, I got to go into the hospitality area and I got to drink a little of the champagne and drink some of the wine and eat some of the really great Italian food. I didn't eat the sushi because I have a shrimp allergy, so I don't usually do sushi. But they also had beautiful jewelry you could buy, not me at this time, but one could, a person could buy, and really cool branded merch. They had a spa. I didn't have time to do the spa because I was working, but they had a lot of fun things. So it would be easy for me at my current financial moment to go to that hospitality area and create a story in my mind about how I will never be able to reach this, right? Meaning, I don't make the kind of money where I get to drive a Ferrari and I get to, go to the hospitality area and buy the, I think the tickets were like $1,200 and go sit in hospitality. I could make a story about finances and worth and value that would make me feel less than, right? So, like when you are looking at travel blogs, when you are looking at things like whatever it is that you're looking to inspire you, it is very important that you watch the thoughts come up, right? So, if the thoughts come up that make you start to feel angry or jealous or less than, or to rail against the people who are wealthy, it's important to notice that. I'm not telling you you're wrong. I'm not saying the system is fair. I'm not saying the system isn't skewed, because that's not, we don't live in a world that's fair, right? We never have, by the way. I don't know if the world has ever been fair. Even in the world of nature, it's not so much right or wrong, it simply is, right? It's like things aren't happening to you, they're just happening. I know that's a hard one for people, right? To think that this isn't happening to me. It's just happening, especially when it's something very personal and difficult, right? Like for example, if you get sick, why is this happening to me? Well, it's just happening. It doesn't have to be happening to you. So I bring it up that it's so important to inspire yourself, but it's also equally important to notice any secret thoughts or beliefs that spring up when you are in those places, right? Because this is how you are going to discover any hidden secret beliefs you have about yourself and prosperity, yourself and abundance. So you might believe, for example, other people get to be rich, but I don't. So that is an important thought or belief to banish and to replace and to work on, right? So it might be coming from, you might decide to say, to yourself instead. You don't have to lie and be like, I'm rich if you're not. But although comparatively, you very well may be, if you were to compare yourself to your, like, if I were to compare myself to, say, certain, I don't know, certain places in the world or certain ancestors, I am extremely wealthy in comparison. But it's even more important not to make those comparisons, but instead to find an affirmation or a ladder of affirmations, right? Progressive affirmations that bring you to the place you want to go to. So if you start at other people get to be rich and I don't, you might want to switch to I am available to abundance. I am willing to change my belief about myself and abundance. I'm willing to change my beliefs around abundance. I'm willing to change, you know, and that might be what you need to work on for a little while. It might take some time to overcome beliefs about abundance. Why? Because, so for example, as we spoke about last week, you might have come from a working class family where you fear that if you become abundant, it might separate you from your family. That is not necessarily the truth, but it might be something that you're carrying around. So you get to do some really amazing excavating on what might be creating these beliefs, right? And I'm not saying that you shouldn't continue to engage in your socioeconomic political beliefs if that's what you like, because abundance and prosperity doesn't have to be about an economic system in which we're currently living. There are so many ways to be abundant and prosperous, right? One way I could look at my weekend is, although I did not, how lucky was I? I did not buy the tickets for this Ferrari challenge race. Instead, I was working, so I got to do something that I love to do. I got to wear an amazing dress and get my nails done. And I was actually flown to Sonoma, a place people pay money to go to on vacation, put up in a hotel so that I could sing, so that I could bring a gift to the people who needed it in that moment to celebrate the beauty of their event. And then I got to go eat the good food and look at all the cool stuff and hang out with my friends and experience a little bit of the race. Again, because I was working, I wasn't there as a spectator. I didn't get to watch the whole race, but I don't care. That wasn't really important to me. Watching a little bit of it, cool, right? Of course, it's important to me in and of I am grateful for the work and I respect what they're doing. And it was amazing to watch. I got to watch a few, you know, maybe like 5 minutes of the race. I mean, it was really astonishing to watch these cars and how fast they go and how beautiful they are. And the cool designs on the different cars, you know, how the different drivers express themselves. And there were men and women racing in this race. It was really cool to see the women racers. And one of the winners was a woman. I think she was second place. So amazing to see. So prosperity came to me not because I did labor for it, literally. I mean, I was there working. But prosperity came to me because I said yes, because I keep saying yes to who I am, right? Because I kept saying yes. Because years ago, when my label deal ended and I was so brokenhearted about singing, I didn't quit singing. I mean, I don't have the career I dreamed of having. Maybe I still will. Maybe I won't. It doesn't matter. I kept pursuing, A, the truth of who I was, B, a gift I was given and a thing I love to do, and C, I said yes to opportunity, and I continued to work on my commitment to being ready for opportunities when they come. So that's me. What's yours, right? What's yours? Maybe you are learning to become a great psychic reader, right? That's another gift I have, being psychic and doing readings. And I've spent my entire life being psychic, and I've spent, since I was a teenager, learning modalities to channel that energy, learning tarot cards, learning about chakra balancing. I learned that when I was 22. Learning massage therapy, which I no longer do, but it opened the world to chakra balancing, energy work, Reiki, right? Learning, I started doing tarot in high school. I started learning about astrology in my early 20s. I started learning about life coaching in my late 20s. I started learning about love coaching in my late 20s, financial coaching in my 30s. These modalities, right, that are so helpful to me in my career with One to Listen, I just continue to learn and I just continue to develop my practice. It wasn't always in flow, right? When I was younger, I would do readings on weekends at the coffee shop in Minneapolis near where I had my massage office. And then when I moved to Los Angeles, I interviewed at a couple of psychic bookstores, but I didn't want to be tied to a place. So instead, I started doing readings for people at their homes or having people come to my home. And I especially started doing a lot of events. So a lot of bar and bat mitzvahs, a lot of parties, Halloween parties, Christmas parties, whatever, baby showers, you name it, I've done it. I guess I've never done a bachelor party doing tarot card readings, but I have done a bachelor party doing chair massage therapy. I've done that. I wasn't always my full-time thing. I just kept developing and I kept saying yes. So I'm telling you this because I believe in you. When we are talking about prosperity and abundance, when we continue to know our values, we continue to say yes to who we are and develop ourselves, other gifts will come, right? So like if we are looking through the lens of prosperity, which is partially the point of today's episode, when we are looking through the lens of prosperity, how cool was it that I got to spend my weekends doing, like when I was in my late 20s and early 30s living here in Los Angeles, I was either had singing gigs, or I got to go do like $1 million bar and bat mitzvahs as the tarot card reader. I got connected through a friend of mine to an event planner. Well, my friend was the event planner, and I became her go-to girl for so many different things: tarot card readings, astrology readings, acoustic singing, acoustic guitar singing. It was so fun. It was so fun because I therefore got to go to these beautiful events, be surrounded by prosperity. I can't name an event that I did with her where people weren't gracious, where the chef didn't make me up a plate, where someone didn't send me home with food, right? People were all lovely, right? So in my late 20s, I struggled financially. My label dropped me right when streaming became a big deal for music. And so all the middle-class musicians, I stopped selling CDs and I started making a lot less money streaming. You just don't make the same money. And also, we went through the financial crisis, if you remember what happened with Countrywide Mortgage and everything that happened around that time. And then here in Hollywood, there was the writer's strike. So it was a very tough time for me, but I didn't give up. I was very blessed. I would say I was fortunate. I wasn't lucky because I had worked for this, but I had a handful of massage clients who kept me afloat and who fed me. So I would go to their homes to do massages, and they would send me home with food and groceries. I didn't tell them I was hungry. They probably just heard my stomach grumbling, but they would just send me home with food. I was very fortunate so that through the lens of prosperity, even in hard times, I was always taken care of. And I also did find ways to work. I mean, I really always found ways to do readings, to do massage, to do all I'm scrappy. I'm a hustler. That's true. I've always been scrappy and I've always been a worker. So, you know, you learn later. What I learned was how to adjust my mindset around prosperity so I didn't have to be, so I could add some zeros to the ends of those checks, right? So that I could have a little more money and savings so I didn't have to be so scrappy, right? But for me, that was a real progression. I had to really learn how to go from, I've never been homeless, thanks to the divine. And if I ever had been, well, I guess there were a few nights I got kicked out of a boyfriend's apartment. I had nowhere to go. I slept in a car a couple times. Actually, that's true. That happened. But just for like 2 nights. And then I moved in with a friend. But for the most part, like but I'm telling you that because so you can understand, like when I'm talking about prosperity, like I've been on the other end. I've really come from behind. there, I didn't necessarily have a lot of support. I did have parents who read to me and demanded that I get good grades. And that's great because then I was able to A, learn how to work really hard, B, get scholarships for school, and C, I just learned how to be resourceful, right? So I know no matter what happens, I'll always be resourceful. But I learned after that how to become prosperous. So I'm telling you, these are the things I did, right? If you start resenting wealth, it's important to look at that. I'm not talking about resenting an unfair system. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have feelings of resentment. But I am saying, are you holding yourself back from prosperity and abundance through resentment? Are you creating an identity for yourself that doesn't invite more prosperity and abundance? Are you willing to look at that and say, well, there's other ways to have prosperity and abundance without necessarily having to engage in a way that I don't find has integrity, right? Like when I was in my 20s and 30s, I had a shocking number of people in Hollywood, both as massage clients and as an actor and as a singer, ask me to be their sugar baby, right? That's why I wrote the book called Bad Sugar Baby. I never was a sugar baby. I'm just not cut out for it. But it was shocking how many people wanted me to do that. But I didn't, I'm not against it if that's what you want to do with your life. If you are, if you like it, if you're able to do it, awesome, great. I'm just, my brain isn't wired that way. I'm an oxytocin bonder. I'm going to get involved in ways I probably shouldn't get involved. I'm just not cut out for it, right? Why did I bring that up? Because I wanted to talk about how it's important that you don't create an identity for yourself that limits you, right? If you think I can only be prosperous if I'm a sugar baby, that might become limiting in the long run, right? I had a friend who had been a sugar baby, and boy, did she spin that to her advantage. She took the, first of all, she had one sugar daddy who bought her her condo in Westwood, but she had another sugar daddy who gave her money, and she took that money. First, she invested it in herself, and she bought herself some plastic surgery. And I'm laughing because I know this is a spiritual show, so we think of investing in yourself as investing in personal growth, right? Well, she went and got some fake boobs. And then she got a modeling agent, and she ended up being a Playboy centerfold. Now, whatever you may or may not think about it, I know my mother would be like, ugh, because my mom doesn't like that stuff, right? But whatever you might think about it, she used that notoriety to get to start a swimwear line. And she took the money from her swimwear line and the money from her modeling career and her pinup career and the money from her one of her sugar daddies, and she started investing it in stocks. And then she started investing in businesses. And then she became a very wealthy woman. And then she stopped having a sugar daddy. She didn't need them anymore. I haven't talked with her in several years, so I'm not sure where she's at now. But she just was like, nope, don't need anymore. But she really used it all to do well for herself because she didn't think of herself as only a sugar baby. She was clearly very entrepreneurial. Now, you don't have to do that, right? There's so many, you can do it however you want. What's true for you, right? That's my whole point. Prosperity, the seed of prosperity, the blossoming of that prosperity for you lies in the seed of who you are. So if you are a public school teacher, there might be other things, ways for you to invite abundance. And that might be tutoring, right? That might be investing in stocks. That might be if you have any other side, like hobbies, that could become a side hustle. Right? There's so many different things and ways to go about it. And by the way, prosperity doesn't have to mean making more money. It could mean, we're going to get into this over the month of August, September, right? It can mean so many different things. It can mean discounts, lowered car payments, lowered car insurance payments, discounts on goods and services, finding money, free, all kinds of free offers, free things, right? It's more about the mindset of what is it that you want and need, right? What makes you feel prosperous? There's this wonderful Instagram and TikTok account that I follow. Oh, she's one of my favorites of all time. Her name is Diane Schiffer, but she goes by Your Vintage Nana. I think it's Your Vintage Nana or The Vintage Nana. And she's a lady in her 60s, and she dresses all vintage. She does her hair like a 1930s, like the grandma on Bugs Bunny. Do you know who I'm talking about? Like, she puts her hair up in a bun usually. Sometimes she does, like, victory rolls and 1940s hairstyles. She wears all 1930s and 40s clothes, and she lives in this beautiful house full of vintage items. And her videos are often just her making cookies. She has a special needs daughter, adult daughter, but special needs, who lives with her. Often her videos are the two of them making cookies, or her, like, doing laundry, or her watering flowers and talking about how to feel good about your life. Because, you know, the truth is, you don't need a lot of money to be happy. If you want a lot of money, that's cool, if that's your thing. But you don't need it. There are so many ways to be abundant, to be prosperous, without it having to be about being moneyed in a certain way or not, right? So I want to encourage you to consider who you are, what you need, right? What are the seeds of you? Because maybe what makes you feel prosperous, you know, I'm from Minnesota, and a lot of my friends who are Minnesotans or now Wisconsinites or Midwesterners, it's not so much about wealth. It's about being able to spend weekends with family. It's about being able to spend weekends at the lake. It's about being able to have a beautiful lawn. It's about being a homeowner. It's about being able to take the time to do the things you enjoy. And that is prosperity for them, right? So one of the things I wanted to ask you in today's episode is to first think about, what does prosperity actually look like to you? Because a lot of times we kind of just rush to the stereotype, right? Like, we make a vision board. Have you ever done this? I've done it. We make a vision board with things that don't actually have meaning to us, but because they're symbols of wealth, right? If I were to make a vision board today, I would put on it the little village where I want to buy a home in suburban Rome. Like, outside of Rome, there are these, they're called the Lake Villages. And my husband and I would like to buy a place there, not in the city, but sort of suburban, because it's more peaceful, near his family, but not necessarily in that exact suburb they live in, because we want something a little more bucolic, a little more country, a little more peaceful. And then I would add to that a moped or a car, because the trains don't always go to the village you want to live in, right? I wouldn't be adding an apartment in Paris, because I don't really care right now, because I don't really care about an apartment in Paris. Of course, I want to go visit Paris. I might do a travel vision board, but that's just not, like, travel right now isn't as important to me as much as rest, right? Like a vacation, like a restful vacation. So it's not so much about excitement and adventure. I have a lot of that right now in my life, as much as it would be for me about rest, right? So my vision board would have books and beach and maybe a country scene, because I'm very interested in, like, the mountains, like a cozy cabin in the mountains with a fireplace, right? Stuff like that. But that's me. So if I were to put in there something like, it's funny because I probably put a Ferrari on a vision board once as a symbol of wealth, and look, I manifested it, right? So these things do come around. Like, I remember I put in an Aston Martin 007 James Bond years ago, like 15 years ago. I remember the vision board I had up on the wall in where I lived then. And then I did go and make a web series about rival international spies that was somewhat a parody of James Bond. And I even hired a friend to write a parody Bond theme song that I recorded and I sang. And then from that recording, believe it or not, I have booked private parties singing James Bond theme songs. So I have another gig coming up. I shouldn't talk too much about it in case anybody who's going to be there is probably not, though. It's like a fundraiser, and I'm going to be there as a Bond girl, and I'm going to sing James Bond theme songs. It's like I manifested it. Did I manifest the role of a Bond girl in an actual James Bond movie like I wanted? Not yet. Will I? We'll see. Does it matter? No, because I'm loving my life. I feel abundant. I feel prosperous. I am very fortunate because I follow who I am. I follow the seeds of who I am and I commit to it. And when I find myself self-sabotaging, and trust me, I do, I stop as soon as possible and I drop it and I move on, right? So I want you to think about, first of all, what does prosperity actually mean to you? What does that look like? You might tell me a number. There might be a number. You might tell me the home you want. I did that recently. I came up with a list of everything I want in the two homes that I want, because I want two homes. One here in California and one in Italy. So you might tell me where you would like a home or where you would like multiple homes. You might tell me the car you would like. You might tell me how you would like to dress. You might tell me what you want the money for, right? It's important. I will be asking you to figure out your net worth. We'll get to that if we have time this episode. We'll get to that this episode, otherwise next week. But it's you might tell me, well, I know that I need $3 million because I want this home here, that home there, right? You might say, okay, well, I live in suburban Minneapolis, and then there's this home that I want for $450,000, plus, you know, I want to make sure I have the money for the taxes, and but I also want this $800,000 studio apartment in New York City, right? Or $1.2 million studio apartment in New York City. And if that's what you want and that's what you want, then you might say, that's why I need $3 million. But you might not need that, right? There's so many different ways to receive. So you might give me the number. You might also tell me what it's for. Tell me what it's for. How do you want your life of abundance and prosperity to look? What does it really look and feel like? When you wake up in the morning, what does your bedroom look like? I wake up in the morning and I wake up in a beautiful California king bed with beautiful sheets and a bedspread, and the walls are like, well, actually, I have like the vision of a Malibu in my mind, but the truth is, like, my bedroom's full of cool art that people who love me or have loved me in the past have made for me, right? Like friends or lovers have made me art. So we have all this art in our bedroom. So that's kind of cool too, right? Like, I definitely love art. Art is important. Do I own a Picasso? No. But I own two Cermaqs. I own a Larson. I own, what is her name? A woman that I met once. I bought a painting from this one woman whose name is escaping me at the moment. She was an amazing painter, right? I own Amaro. That's a girlfriend of mine who made a painting for me. I own cool art that friends of mine picked up along the way from arts and crafts people, right? So I've got a cool drawing of Florence that somebody bought for me from a street artist in Italy, right? They probably spent 10 euro on it, and it's beautiful. It's gorgeous, and I love it. It's hanging in our living room, that one, right? So you see what I'm getting at. You can fill your life with what abundance means to you without it having to be lifestyles of the rich and famous. And if you want lifestyles of the rich and famous, that's great. Maybe you are rich and famous. That's great. I love it. It's fabulous. Prosperity and abundance is for everybody at all levels. So tell me what that looks like to you. You wake up in the morning, you get out of bed. What do? What does your abundant life look like? What are you thinking? Your abundant life, you're thinking about the blessings of your life. Are you giving thanks to your spiritual higher power? What are you eating for breakfast? What does the kitchen look like? Where do you get breakfast? Do you make it? Does a chef make it? Right? I want you to think about what you really want, what's right for you. Right? Some people love cooking. Some people love to cook. Some people love to have people cook for them. Right? Some people love to go out for brunch. Some people don't eat breakfast at all. Right? I eat breakfast. Some people don't. So what does that look like to you? When you're eating breakfast and you're looking out the window, what are you looking at? Or where are you eating it, right? These are the things I want you to think about. What are you wearing? Oh, that sounds sexy. But what are you wearing? What are you off to do with your day, right? How do you spend your abundant days? Are you working a job you love? What do you love about it? What's prosperous about it? So I want you to think about what prosperity and abundance means to you. Next, I want you to look at your current life. Okay? It's true, I do want you to figure out your net worth, not as a defining factor, but just so you know where you're at. And again, I'm going to tell you, like, I've traveled the world even when I had like zero net worth, like negative net worth, right? Because I had debt. So you start with what you own. This can be very scary and triggering for people. We're going to get to this, right? Start with what you own. The cash you have, the money you have in the bank, any retirement accounts you have, any investment accounts you have, anything you own that you could sell for cash. So real estate, cars, jewelry, you know, instruments, art, things that you could sell for cash, right? So add all of that up. Just do it generally, you know, what kind of about what you have in the bank, about what you have in your retirement account, if you have one. If you don't worry, we're going to get to that. I'm here for you. We're going to do this together. We're spending the whole month. About what you have in your investment accounts, right? Just add it all up. Let's say your number is, okay, if I add up everything in my banks, everything in my retirement accounts, everything I own, it's only $30,000, right? Or you might tell me it's $42 million, whatever. It doesn't matter. Just everything you've got. Then I want you to subtract everything you owe. Credit card debt, student loans, mortgages, car loans, medical debt, anything you owe. So you're going to subtract from what you have, everything you owe, and that's how you're going to figure out your actual net worth. So you might say, oh my God, Aaron, my net worth is negative $70,000 because I've got student loans. That's okay. That's your net worth on paper. That's not your net worth in your heart or psychologically or spiritually or even in the realm of nature. I'm telling you as somebody who's lived it, okay? I'm telling you as somebody who has been negative in the tens of thousands. That is not your net worth with God, okay? But it's important for you to know what you're dealing with, the reason being so that if you, depending on what you want out of prosperity and abundance, if you say, Aaron, I want enough savings in the bank to feel safe to quit my second side job, because maybe you have a main career and then a side hustle. Like, I remember when I was singing, I was an opera singer at a macaroni grill. Have you ever been to one of those? So they have opera singing waiters and opera singing hostesses. So I was an opera singing hostess. And I remember I was working with a waiter, a server, a waitress, but a server. She was a public school teacher by day. And then she worked three nights a week as a waitress. And that's how she was paying, you know, buying her house. And I remember at the time thinking I felt bad for her that she didn't make enough money as a teacher to buy her home. Now, this was in suburban Minneapolis. This was actually in Edina, Minnesota, which is a upper class suburb, slightly wealthier suburb. So I was, if for those of you who know Minnesota, I was working at the Macaroni Grill at the Southdale Mall, which no longer is, Southdale Mall is there, but the Macaroni Grill then became Lou and Annie's, then became, I think, something else. Anyway, interestingly, my sister-in-law once worked at Lou and Annie's, so it's funny that we both worked at the same restaurant, different names, different, obviously different eras. But I just remember, at first I felt bad for her, but whatever we think of the system that we're in, and maybe it is right and just to fight for a new system for school teachers, you know, that's obviously how I feel. At the same time, that lady did not let it hold her back from what she wanted in life. She loved teaching. She was a good teacher, I assume. She told me she was. She loved her teaching. She was an elementary school teacher. And she really did love it. But she also wanted this one house. And so she was willing to find a different way to get that house, right? Was it fair? No. Is life fair? No. Did she find a way to make it work? Yes. Okay? So it's important you know your net worth so that if you tell me, Aaron, what I want is $100,000 in the bank, but right now what I have is negative 70. It's not that you're not going to build that. It's that you now know what you're dealing with and you can start to make plans. While you're making plans, by the way, you take a step, the universe is going to meet you a mile every time. You take another step, the universe is going to meet you another mile. Now, if you have habits and beliefs that you're a spender, or that you, like, some people go into spending bulimia, right? Where they don't spend, and all of a sudden they binge spend, right? So yes, it's not about giving up lattes or avocado toast. It's about finding balance to build your dream, right? But I'm telling you, you take a step, the universe is going to come a mile every time. So now you know what prosperity is going to look like, what you want it to look like for you based on who you are in your life. And hopefully you have, I don't need an exact number, but like a general idea of your net worth. And maybe prosperity in your life has nothing to do with your net worth. I remember I had this homeless neighbor. He lived in the alleyway. I haven't seen him since COVID, but so I don't know if he's still with us or not. He's probably 60-year-old guy. He's from Cuba. He mainly spoke Spanish, sometimes English. I knew he spoke English because he spoke it with me once in a while, but he would pretend not to speak English with a lot of people. Anyway, he told me once that he was from Cuba, and he had escaped Cuba, came to this country, had a family, that he had grown children who lived in New York City, who wanted him to live with them. But he didn't want to live that life. He didn't want to live tied to bills or rent. He didn't want to have to live the modern day financial life that he saw everybody around him living. He said he didn't like the rat race. He didn't want it. So he actually, this is what he told me. It wouldn't work for me, but this is what he told me. He told me he was happier living on the streets. He had everything he needed. People gave him money so that he could eat and drink and enjoy life. He had friends. He was free. He would sometimes go to the beach and just enjoy the sun. And that's what he wanted out of life. I would not be interested in such a life. But to him, he felt like he was more abundant than all of us working suckers, right? That's what he told me. He was free. He had everything he needed to be happy. And his life was good. Now, I've lived in this apartment since 2015. So I talked with him pretty regularly up until COVID quarantine. And then he just disappeared. So I don't know what happened. I don't know if he's still with us. I don't know if he ended up moving in with his family. Probably not. But I'll never forget those stories he would tell me. Now, that's probably not most of us. Most of us want the money in the bank and want the home and want the financial security. And that's most of us. And so for most of us, you do want to know what your net worth is. And you do want to know what prosperity looks like to you so that you can start. You don't need to know the plan today. We're going to get into planning and coming up with fun things as we're manifesting too. This is going to be both practical and fun, okay? So now you know key ingredients for envisioning your prosperity moving forward, okay? Because I want to remind you the next piece of this, which is that the divine, why is it important to know if you have secret beliefs that hold you back from your prosperity? And, right, like if you resent wealth, if you're like my former homeless neighbor, Raul, he didn't resent wealth. He laughed at it. He thought it was foolish, which is interesting, right? There might be some resentment in there that I didn't pick up on or that he didn't want to admit, but really he really was very happy, right? But the thing is that when we're manifesting, the divine, the universe, spirit, it only knows our focus. So let's put it this way. Let's say you're at a restaurant and you order the hamburger. And you say to the waiter, okay, why don't you bring me a hamburger and french fries and a Diet Coke? The waiter says, okay. And then you go, oh, wait. You know what? Actually, change that. Instead of the hamburger, I want a grilled cheese. Grilled cheese, fries, Diet Coke. The waiter's going to bring you the grilled cheese, right? The universe is the same way. The divine is the same way. So you're telling the universe, well, I want $1 million and I resent wealth and believe that I have to struggle for it. And that I don't get to actually be wealthy, but I get to look in the window at wealthy people. Like, if you secretly believe that, that's what the universe is going to bring you, because that's the order you're putting in, right? Versus if you say, well, what I actually want in life, if you're like, I do want to buy a Ferrari, I do want to have those, to be that wealthy, that's great. That's what you want. Let's get you there. But if you're like, no, I actually really like the vintage Nana. What I really want is a cozy, easy, peaceful life. Not that life is easy for her, but, you know, where I'm not adding to my stress. I'm appreciative and grateful for what I have. I respect my things. I make my life and home as beautiful as possible. And I enjoy the simpler things in life, like cooking and flowers and gardening. But you tell me that's what you want. Great. Let's get you that. If you say, right, this, whatever you want, let's get you that. But the divine is going to respond to the order you're putting in. So we want to make sure when we are manifesting things, we watch our triggers. We watch our bodily responses. We watch our thoughts that pop up. We watch the words we say, especially the things we say unconsciously. We begin to become more and more aware. So a practice that I think is valuable, especially for people who are in financial fear, I'm going to ask you to do something so scary, and it's going to change your life for the better. I'm going to ask you to start opening all of your bills the day they come. I'm going to ask you to look at your bank accounts and any other accounts. I want you to schedule this once a day, and you're going to look at that bank account and you're going to say, bless Wells Fargo, bless Capital One, whoever your bank is, bless this bank account, bless this credit card, bless this, and say however much, you know, $4,000 in the bank, bless this $5 million, like whatever it is, bless this power bill, bless this loan that's due, bless my car insurance payment, bless my employers, bless my clients, bless my everybody you give money to, everybody who gives you money. You start once a day. You're going to look at those. You're going to open the bills when they come. You're going to look at it and you say, bless this bill. You're going to look once a day at your bank accounts and you're going to say, bless these accounts. Bless this savings account. Bless this checking account. You're going to think, you're going to create a little list of your boss, the company you work for, or if you work for yourself, the people you serve, and bless them, right? We're blessing income. We're blessing the flow of financial energy. And I also would love it if you would bless the things you want to manifest, right? You don't have to sit and say, like, God, please bring me a Ferrari. Please bring me a Ferrari. You say, thank you, God, for this Ferrari. Bless this Ferrari. Thank you. That's it. Okay, simple. When the thoughts arise, the triggers arise that indicate to you that you have a block, an identity getting in the way of your abundance, getting in the way of your prosperity, that's when you're going to say, oh, what is that about? You're going to say, what do I secretly believe here? Does this hold me back from my prosperity? What else could I believe? What do I want to believe and how do I get there? Okay. So we've come to the end of the show, so I've got to let you go. If you're on my mailing list, I'm going to be posting the first practice, which is blessing our bank accounts and the whole system, the whole thing we did today. What does prosperity mean to you? You know, what is your net worth and blessing our accounts? But you heard it here first. So next week, we will get into some fun manifestations, some cool, you know, like witchy spells. We're going to approach it from a less pragmatic approach and way more fun woo-woo stuff. But I think it's really important to blend the pragmatic with the healing, with the awareness, with the fun, witchy magic, with the woo-woo, with the affirmations and incantations, because it all works together. So if you want to come find me, if you want to work through any of this with somebody who has been there, who has been around, probably, you know, whatever you present to me, I promise you, I've probably been around it. You could tell me you're in the Forbes top 200, and I could say, well, I probably know I've worked with some of your peers, right? So, and you just heard about Raul the Holmes guy. So I'm not afraid of any situation. I won't judge any of it, and I'm here to help. Okay? So onetolisten.com/Erin. Until next week, love you. Bye.